Good evening. It's nice to see everyone. So, welcome to review class. So if my recollection is correct, tonight we will be reviewing the content for Calm Abiding. So let's take just a moment to settle our minds and set a motivation for doing this effort of the next 15 minutes. And of course, we can think that by actually perfecting calm abiding and special insight and conjoining that with bodhicitta, then we can become enlightened and do that for the benefit of all sentient beings. So with that in mind, does anybody want to lead tonight? Y'all have been working so hard on this. Anybody feel like they could just take the reins? What'd you say, Joanna?
I said I'm waiting.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm happy to do it, but I just wanted to give you all a chance because.
Where do you want to start? With the 9 stages or where? What do you
think? Sure. Sounds great.
Okay. Let's do it. inner placement, continual placement. Stage 3 is patchy placement. 4 is close. Starts with a C.
Close. That's right.
Placement.
Close.
Subdued. Placement, becoming pacified or pacifying.
Pacifying, that's it.
Complete pacification, becoming single pointed, and meditative stabilization.
Excellent job. Well done.
Thank you.
Gold star.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so then how many, when we talk about calm abiding, how many powers are there?
6
powers, that's right.
Yeah.
Anybody want to take a stab at naming them?
I'm going to share with them, I'll let others do it.
So the first is the power of
knowledge.
Exactly. Was that you, Karen?
Yes.
Great. Thank
I'm
you.
Karen's spirit.
Yeah. Thank you very much. So the power of knowledge. That's right. And then next comes
the power of contemplation.
That's it. And each of those lasts just for the one stage. Okay, so then the next one is the power of what?
Mindfulness.
And how many stages does that last for?
2.
That's right, for the third and the fourth stage. That's exactly right. And then after you've developed mindfulness, you develop the power of?
Introspection.
Exactly, introspection. And how long does that one cover? How many stages does that one cover?
2
again, 5 and 6. That's right. Stage 5 and stage 6. Okay. So then stage 7, we have the power of what?
Joyful effort.
Joyful effort. Yeah. And how long does that last?
2.
That's right. Stage 7 and stage 8. And so then stage 9, obviously, just one stage. And what's that one? The power of?
Familiarization.
Exactly. So, stage 1 is the power of knowledge. Stage 2, the power of contemplation. Stages 3 and 4, the power of mindfulness. 5 and 6, the power of introspection. 7 and 8, the power of joyful effort. And 9, the power of familiarization. Just, you know, repeating for auditory learners here. Okay, So now we've got some mental engagements. How many of those do we have?
Just four.
That's right. Very good. Okay, so what's the first mental engagement?
Tight focus.
Yes. And how long does that last?
For stage one and two.
Perfect, that's right. And then after tight focus comes?
Interrupted focus.
Well done, well done. And how long does that one last?
Just about forever.
3, 4, 5, 6, and 7.
Exactly. Well done. All right, and so we got tight focus, then interrupted focus, and then what comes next?
Uninterrupted focus.
Well done, well done. Uninterrupted focus, and how long does that last?
Just one stage.
Exactly, one stage. And then our final, stage 9, what is the mental engagement there?
Effortless engagement.
Excellent. So tight focus, interrupted focus, uninterrupted focus, effortless engagement. No problem. You know, I've got this hands down. Okay. So I wanted to just remind us because, okay, so the reason why all of this matters, right, is so that when we're actually practicing, we have an idea of what's going on, right? It's not just to, you know, be able to rattle off the four of these and the six of those, right? And so one thing I think that's really important for us to understand is if we're having sinking or excited mind, and if so, which it is, so then we sort of know what to adjust, right? So with that in mind, I'm wondering if we could revisit the definitions of those. So first off, there are two kinds of sinking mind. What are those two kinds?
Gross and subtle sinking mind.
Exactly. That's right. So for gross sinking mind, what's the definition of that?
Losing the object.
So that's along the right lines, Julie.
You have the object, but it's not very clear.
Right. Right. So with gross, it's still steady. You haven't lost it completely. But it's unclear, right? And so as it gets more subtle, what does subtle sinking mind look like?
There, the stability and clarity is there, but the strength of the clarity is lacking.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Not as intense, right? So obviously, gross is more than subtle, right? And so... so for subtle, it's steady and clear, but not strong. And then for gross, you even lose the clarity, but it's still steady. Yeah. So there's gross and subtle excited mind, right? And so what is the definition for gross excited mind?
Losing the object by being focusing on some object that you're attracted to.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And so what does it look like if it's only subtle excitement, not quite as strong as that, you know, not quite as strong as the gross that you just described? What does the subtle excited look like?
You have the object. You're focused on the object. But a part of your mind is distracted by another thought or other thought, sort of subconsciously, not subconsciously, but subconceptually, non-conceptual.
Right. Yeah, below the level of conceptual thought. That's exactly right. Yeah, yeah. And what's the example that they often give for this?
Like water flowing under ice.
Perfect. Yeah, that's exactly right. Okay, so... for those of you who are doing meditation, doing single pointed meditation, have you experienced any of these things? I mean, is it useful to sort of think about them in these ways?
Well, if it happens in stage one, I've been there. Yeah.
Okie dokie. Yeah.
I mean, okay. beyond stage one or two, it's pretty theoretical out there.
Well, I'm right there with you on that. I understand. I
believe it's all out there. You know, yeah. Have faith.
Okay, so when we talk about the causes of these minds, what is the cause of sinking mind?
Sluggishness.
Yeah, exactly. And you already said it, but let's say it again. What's the cause of excited mind?
Losing the object, being attached to another thought.
Yeah, and Julie, I'm sorry. I think you said something, but I didn't hear you.
I said attachment.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. Yeah, very good. So I think that we seem to have that down, so that's really wonderful. Okay, so let's, we've still got a couple minutes left. Why don't we at least start to look at the faults and the antidotes? So how many faults are there?
Five
faults, yep. And how many antidotes?
Eight.
Perfect. Yeah, five and eight. And so what is the first fault?
Laziness.
Mm-hmm. And how many antidotes apply for laziness?
Four, I think.
Yeah, exactly. So there's eight antidotes and four of them are for laziness. So that says something. Okay, so can anybody name those four? The four antidotes to laziness?
They're... Faith. Go ahead, Alexandra.
Go ahead, Julie.
Faith in the benefits, interest, enthusiasm, pliancy, and mindfulness.
So you had that perfect. It's the first four that you said apply to laziness, and then mindfulness applies to the next one. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so what does mindfulness apply to? What's the fault that is the antidote for?
Not remembering the instructions.
Exactly, right. So we've got faith, interest, enthusiasm, and pliancy that are the antidote for laziness. And then we've got mindfulness that's the antidote for forgetting the instructions. Okay, so what is the third fault?
Excitement and sinking mind?
Exactly. And so what is the antidote for that?
That one is introspection.
Exactly. Right. Okay, so we got two more faults left. What are those?
Don't apply the antidote or you mm-hmm. over.
Right. Non-application and over-application of the antidote. Exactly. And so for the first one, the non-application, what is the antidote for that one?
Applying the antidote.
Exactly. And for the last one, if you're over-applying, what's the antidote for that?
Chill out.
Exactly. Right? You don't need to do anything because it's already working. Right. Okay. So what have I missed? Let's see. In the beginning... Geshla pointed us towards some root texts. How many authors authored those texts?
Two.
Exactly. And who are those two authors?
Maitreya
and Asanga.
Exactly. Maitreya and Asanga. Yep. And so, if there are three texts and two authors, obviously one wrote two and one wrote one. Who wrote two?
Asanga.
Or the other one?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Maitreya Buddha authored two of them and Asanga one of them. That's exactly right. Okay. What else can we talk about in just 1 minute? Okay, so when you're talking about your object of meditation, what qualifies? What can be an object of meditation?
Like a holy image, like Tara or the Buddha, any holy image of your choice.
Right. So if you're following the Lama Tsongkhapa tradition, then that's the one that's typically mentioned because there are added benefits, right? But it's not a requirement. Does anybody else have an idea of?
The breath.
Your breath, sure. What else?
A candle, a flower. I think the main thing is you don't want to change your object.
Yeah, so those are two good points, Donna. One is that it can truly be anything. Geshe-la said it could be cheesecake, right? Because there's an example, right, of someone who actually, you know, achieved calm abiding by meditating on, I think it was an antler or something like that. So it can be anything. And the idea, Donna, of just picking one and sticking with it, right? Can you say more about what's behind that? Like why that's important?
No.
Oh, you know. I know you know. Well, okay, so the idea is, go ahead.
Well, I think it's because it's actually distracting to be changing your object. And so if you stay on one object, then you're going to get deep. It's going to be easier to get deeper into your concentration and not be distracted by another object.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's just that the more you go from here to there, the harder it's going to be to go deeper, right? And Geshe-la has said that if the goal is not calm abiding, but just to sort of quiet your mind, then changing objects is probably okay, you know. But that if the goal is actually calm abiding, then picking something and sticking with it's going to let you go deeper. So, yeah, that's exactly it. Okay, well, yay, everyone. Wonderful review. 15 minutes of our best thinking right there. And next time, then, we will go back to doing a meditation for our pre-class time, and then we'll just keep going back and forth until y'all let me know you want to do something else.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Jean.
Geshe-la should be joining us anytime now.
Thank you very much, Chukila.
Oh, yeah, thanks for joining.
Hey, Chukila, I'm just jumping in, but did you guys say the nature of space-like awareness, or is that something, I know I haven't been to many of these, as an object?
We didn't name that specifically, but certainly, yes, that is one that we've gone over and
okay.
That a lot of people use. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just throwing something in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah. Also, I'm not sure if anybody had mentioned that FPMT now has an official translation of this root text that we're talking about. And so, that's available if you just go to on our website today's link. Yeah. You know,
somebody, oh, you're gonna have a seat. Oh yeah.
This is Samir.
Oh yeah. So begin with the prayer.
Bosom gupe gone cha tse lo nye shom yi tu che ti ma bu to me ne sa di tun
Good morning, Tomasi. good evening. Good evening, Ryan.
Hey.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Oh, good. Thank you for coming, Ryan. Good evening, Julie. Good evening, Ramula. Good evening, Joanna. Invisible Bodhisattva Patrick. good evening, Chukila. Good evening, Nili. Good evening, Panditji, Pati. Good evening, Jill. How's Miranda?
Well, her mind is good.
Oh.
Body's not so great, but the mind is really good, happy.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Thank you for asking.
Good evening, Jennifer. Good evening, Elise. Good evening, Susie. Good evening, Peter.
Good evening.
Good evening, David.
Good evening.
Good evening, Helen. Good evening, Laura.
Good evening, Metta. good evening, children. Good evening, Moya.
Yeah. Hello, Geshe-la.
Oh,
nice to see you.
Long time no see.
No, too long. Very too long.
Yeah, very too long. How
very too long. I'm really, really good, Geshe-la. Thank you. How are you?
Oh, good, good. Good evening, Anala Barma. Good evening, Kim. Oh, yeah. And today I changed the commentaries of the root texts. I'm reading the commentary by His Holiness the 14th Dalai Lama. So that commentary is based on Sutrayana. so now the order. So first Sutrayana, then Tantrayana. So last Wednesday, the order kind of like mix up. Not by you, by Gishigile. So, I hope you are okay with that. Yeah. So of course then, you know, later on, maybe after February, so when you receive the teaching from His Holiness, so then after that I will probably continue that. Okay. So again here, Chukila, name of the text, recalling.
Yeah, so Geshe-la, we now have a translation from FPMT that Thupten Jinpa did. So his title is Recognizing My Mother, an Experiential Song on the View.
So I think the better to say the mother, not my mother, the mother.
Okay.
I think children suggested that's probably, I think it makes sense. So that when you read the title, people should not get the image of their own mother. So that probably is not different kinds of mother, different types of mother. Yeah. Okay. So there's the concern behind that word, my mother. If you immediately bring up the image of your own mother, so that's not what it really means here, mother. Makes sense?
Yes.
Well, so what it says, recognizing?
Yeah, recognizing the mother.
Oh.
An experiential song on the view.
Yeah, spiritual song on the view, sir. Spiritual song on the view. So what is the view here? View is like middle way. Okay. Middle way means like not like everything's like exaggerated, superimposed. Exaggerated. That's one extreme view. So there's everything you exaggerate. That's probably like living with something that you just made it up. You just made it up. You know. So that's like one extreme view. Then other extreme view, you say, oh, there's nothing exists. You know, the bottom line, nothing exists. You know, so that's one extreme view. So here, recognizing the mother, recognizing mother?
Yes, an experiential song on the view.
Yeah, experiential song on the view. So experiential song on the view. So now here, view, middle way. Free from too extreme view, too extreme view. Basically, it's not about appearances, it's about reality. It's not like how things appear, it's like about the it's about reality. It's like there's two different things, appearances and reality. There's two different things. Reality doesn't appear. What appears is not reality. No, reality doesn't appear. So that's not like a middle way. Okay, just give. Experiential song on the views, experiential song, Tavenyam Guru. So now here, the root test in the beginning, first line has a Amage Mute Yurin Torres, means like not recognizing the mother long time, not recognizing the mother. So, so here the mother refers to the, so now I'm going to read from the His Holiness commentary, okay? So then if I need to say something extra, then I will. How to define here mother, how to define the mother. That's what His Holiness Dalai Lama said. Mother. Of course, here, this is based on Sutrayana teachings. So that refers to ultimate truth, ultimate truth. Ultimate truth, or shunyata. In Sanskrit, I like that word, shunyata, much better than emptiness. It's in English, that's called emptiness, but shunyata, emptiness. No? Okay, shunyata, emptiness. Tombanyi. No? Then can you read the next line in English?
Yeah, so this is the second stanza in the way they've translated it. This lunatic child who lost his old mother long ago is about to realize by chance what he has not recognized.
Of course, you will say I'm not lunatic. Of course, we will say I'm not lunatic. We will say that definitely, without second of doubt. We will say I'm not lunatic. Yeah, that cousin. What is your world? What is your world? See, what is your world? Perceptions, stories. Without a story, this life is nothing. Stories. Without a story, this life is, that life is nothing. Stories by seeing color shape. Story by hearing things. Story by smelling things. Story by tasting, story by touching. Then of course, all of that, there's one boss that thinks, thinking, story by thinking. That rules the five senses. Six mental consciousness that rules the five senses. Send all the informations to the boss, then the boss decides. So that boss is constantly, the information to that boss is constantly fed by five senses, through five senses. Yeah, so. Yeah, so student, what is your world? What is your world? Oh. So, I think the lunatic, that word is pretty too strong. You know, the seeing is not the problem. Seeing is not the problem. Believing in what you see, believing in that. So then that is not become a problem. Like seeing is not a problem. Of course, people who see, experience, emptiness directly, they see things, same thing like we see, but they don't believe what they see. You know, they analyze. So bottom line here, mental projections. That's our story. That's our world. Our world is mental projections. We live in the world that's projected by our mind. Our world is projected by our mind. That's why the people who see emptiness directly, that looks like lunatic. That looks like kind of sound. That looks like crazy. That looks like lunatic. That sounds like crazy. Because believing in something that doesn't exist. So what? that's exactly how we use the word lunatic. Is people saying something that doesn't exist? Then you say, oh, you are crazy. Because you are saying, believing something that doesn't exist. From the person who sees emptiness directly, so then of course, you know, like projected, you know, mental projection, seeing something, then like projecting something, then not just that, believing in that. So that it sounds like lunatic. That's what it means here. So, you know, so the Buddha nature is there. Right from the beginning is there, but you don't recognize. Is there, you don't recognize there, you know. The true nature of mind, pure, is there. It's not like when you move to America, so then your true nature of mind become pure. Or when you go to Mount Everest, then your true nature of mind become pure. It's not like that. True nature of mind is pure right from the beginning. But not simply not recognizing that. That means that someone, as kids, so they are separated from their parents a long period of time, so then when they met, they don't recognize them, something like the same like that. Or like kids, children, they are separated from their family, their mother a long time, so then, you know, that didn't happen in real life, okay? So we need to rethink how to go beyond this projected world that's projected by your mind, how to go beyond that. All right? So what is mother here? Buddha nature, true nature of mind. What is that? That's shunyata, emptiness. Buddha nature, same thing. Buddha nature, Mahamudra, Dzogchen, all of that. Same thing. Based on the Sutrayana, maybe there may be different way of explaining what's Mahamudra, But it's all boils down on the shunyata. Without shunyata, there will be no mahamudra. There will be no dzogchen, you know, or ronyam. There are many, many different terms they use for all this. Okay, here, this is the most important to understand. Here, the mother refers to Buddha nature, or samutombani, or tonina janese. Oh, this is it. Pama ngo masheba, paga pama yashil to chines. Pama the cut tail to nebo chuji. Pama ngo to batabi pedeja nang tees. So then you've been separated from your parents a long period of time, then somebody introduced, oh, this is your mother. Then you kind of recognize, oh, this is my mother. So same here, the teaching introduces you, oh, this is Buddha nature. That's your true nature of your mind is Buddha nature, the pure one. So then somebody introduces, then you realize, oh, like that, you know, recognize, okay. Chojo Tenjung Sa. What is this word in English called Chojo? Chugila.
Well, I'm not sure if this is in the same order. The stanza is, she is perhaps that is and is not?
No. So not that. The read from the first stanza. So after the what is called continue, there's a use word lunatic. Then what is called?
This lunatic child who lost his old mother long ago is about to realize by chance what he has not recognized. She has been with him all along.
Oh, then after that?
She is perhaps that is and is not, quietly spoken by my brother dependent arising.
Oh, Chojo here. What Chojo? Chojo means brother here. So then the Tibetan word needs to explain. So now in English it's very clear. It's called brother. It's already translated. Oh, so that refers to interdependent. There are certain things that you need to understand. Brother refers to interdependent. Mother refers to Buddha nature. These are the two critical things that knowledge will help when you read further down. It will help. Okay, So now the further down the text, then it also talks about the father, which refers to basis. The base, you know, without base, you can't talk about shunyata or emptiness. You have to have base. Emptiness up, cup. Emptiness up, mind. Emptiness up, something. You can't just talk about shunyata. You have to have base. Okay? So that base, the father, in the down, a little bit further down, then you see the word father. But he's always brought up here. So that father refers to the base. Okay, base. So now here, mind, our mind is the base. Emptiness of that mind is Buddha nature. Okay, Buddha nature. Mind is the base. The emptiness of the mind is Buddha nature. Oh, that's what's happening. Okay. Emptiness, that is shunyata, mother in this case. Mind, the base, that also like refers to the father figure in this text. So these are the few points, if you remember that, then later on it will help. Okay. Manyeba says, then the Tinjuki did the Chiji to the Nangzu Tangji. Tinjuki Tinjik is the logic of interdependence. Logic of interdependent. In Sanskrit, what's called samudapatra, something like that. Interdependent. Nothing. What interdependent roughly? What it means? It means that nothing is independent. Nothing is independent. Everything, happiness, problem, difficulties, stress, anxiety, fear, joy, pleasure, good, bad, everything's dependent. Even though it seems like absolute, inherent, independent, wrong view. Everything's dependent on causes and conditions. So interdependent doesn't necessarily mean dependent on causes and conditions. There are certain phenomena, it does not depend on causes and conditions. So this particular interdependent is based on causality. The very word dependent, very word dependent clearly indicates dependent on something. You are not here by yourself. You are here because somebody planted. So flowers, looks like it's just there. No, that's planted by somebody else on the ground. Somebody put a lot of effort. So that's how you grow, like that. But we don't necessarily think each time when we see, flower, somebody planted somewhere, maybe in Asia, maybe where this flower has been shipped from Europe. Somebody put a lot of effort, so now that's how this flower becomes so beautiful, so fresh. Somebody just planted. We don't think like that. Whenever we experience like some kind of happiness or pleasure or difficulties, we don't think like that. Or it's based on causes and conditions. For us, it's like almost like absolute, inherent, concrete. That's what I'm saying. That mental projections. We don't just see, we believe what we see, we believe what we hear, we believe what we think. So then makes us like lunatic. Kind of like, not, sorry, I'm not saying that we are lunatic, but this makes us kind of lunatic. Chuni ama manye ba reje se, chuni ama manye ba reje se, jo tinjungi tinzi ti chuji Pakistan manye ba, chuji Pakistan manye ba ti chuni ama manye ba reje se. Tina tinjungi tinzi ti chuji dhudu ti nangso da mitun ba, tsakab sa. Tinjungi tinzi se, there's a logic. There's a logic, many, many different types of logic about interdependent logic. For example, you say this cup is not inherent existent because it's dependent. It's dependent. You may think, this is independent. This is independent. All of a sudden, somebody came say, Gishila, this is not independent. This is not inherently existent because it's dependent. Somebody just made it up. It's not just, it's dependent on causes and conditions, like that. So that's called logic. Makes sense. What do you call it in English? Circular logic. Say like, I always use this. You look at the mountain, the distant mountain, and wondering whether there's like water on that mountain or not. You are just wondering because you can't see this because the mountain is far away. But you can see the mountain, but it's not close. It's kind of in the distance. You see the mountains and you wonder whether there's water or not. In order to find the water on the mountain, do you have to go there? Probably not. You don't have to go all the way to the, you don't have to hike all the way to the mountain to find the water. Maybe there's another way to figure it out. To find the water there instead of going all the way up to the mountains. So, what kind of ways? Now the logic. So that logic helps. So you could say, somebody goes, you are wondering whether there's a water or no. I'm giving you an example of what logic means. You are wondering whether there's like water on the mountain or not. Somebody comes up, oh, Julie, there is water because there's a group of geese flying on the mountain all the time. So that's the reason that you have been given is the group of geese that's flying on this mountain very frequently. That's the reason Julie is proving you there is water. If you go there, for example, like you wonder, oh, is there a fire on the mountain or not, the distant mountain? Is there a fire or not? So again, or Dronasi comes and says, oh, there is fire because there's smoke. The smoke is the reason to prove there's fire. You don't have to go all the way up there to see the fire. So that turns out, depending on the reason which is here given to you, the smoke, based on that, you are going to find the fire. These are the logic. In the evening, you are in front of the oceans, then there's a stream coming out of the ocean, then you wonder, is there smoke? And somebody can say, oh, there's no smoke because there's no fire. So, you know, these are the logic. This is the logic, okay, it's called logic. So there's many, many logic that related to the interdependence. Oh, this is not, even though this hand seems like in heaven, independent, but it's not independent because it's dependent. It's not independent because it's dependent, because the condition. So then based on that reason, then you think, then you figure it out, or it appears as independent, but in reality, it is not independent, but it appears as an independent, and we can go beyond appearances. The reality is hidden behind the appearances. What we appear, that's what we believe, what it appears to our five senses, that's what we believe. So then we get stuck. Okay, what is it? Tinjungi, tinsi means logic. Tinjungi, tinsi means logic of interdependence. Ti chujun tuzu te, chujun tuzu te, nangzu tang timi tsakab, so. In your room, in your room, you may be snacking, or maybe watching something, snacking, or drinking something, or maybe eating ice cream. All of a sudden, you see something moving, side of your eyes. Underneath your table, or maybe underneath your couch, or maybe somewhere there moving, then because there are many conditions to that, because there's not much light there, it's kind of dark. Where you're sitting, there's light, you are kind of not really paying attention, you are just eating ice cream and watching something on Netflix, or maybe all of a sudden something moves in the corner of your eye. Then you think, oh, cockroach, or maybe mice, who knows, or maybe spider, or maybe ghost, you know, who knows. So that's what it appears. It appears to be mice, it appears to be spider, appears to be some kind of sentient beings appear. Immediately you have this now mindset that rises, oh, there is something. Not here, so I'm just looking here. This example that I'm giving is not here. It's some other books, not his or his commentary. Just remind me. So now there are many, many reactions. Some people just freak out, just jump, scream. some people takes much bigger to make them scared. Some people just sit and think. They are thinking the solution probably how to catch. A little better than like jumping out and running outside and screaming, calling neighbors. That's not the best. Some people, they just sit there. They are just thinking maybe how to handle that. If there's mice or cockroach, how to handle it. Some people just scream. There's different reaction, but the same things. Some people, they sit, they're analyzing. Is this really cockroach? Is it really mice? It appears like mice. So the minute you have doubt, like that kind of like doubt, minute you have like, you like guys, the corner of eye, you see something, then you kind of project it, that's like cockroach. You kind of project it, that's a cockroach. It become cockroach, not in reality. It just, in that moment, for you, now it's cockroach. Now it start to move. Turns out, that's like, that's one of your socks that you left there. Or maybe some cramp, or maybe, who knows, or maybe like something that you left there in the darkness, you know. So this belongs to you, it's not like, but for you, at that moment, with all these conditions, not much light, and you are always a little bit worried about there might be mice, cockroach or something, so many components contributed to that perception, that appearances. Oh. In reality, it's your socks. But it appears as a mice. So now you are trying to analyze the appearance. You're trying to analyze the appearance rather than going along with the appearances. You are not going along with the appearances. You are thinking to analyze your appearances. Once you start to analyze your appearances, it might require some gut because, you know, you are, first of all, you are afraid of cockroach because you are so afraid of cockroach. So you can't dare to go near, you know, so it requires some guts to analyze the appearances. So what happened when you start to analyze and you get closer to the socks, which is the truth, is not cockroach, is not mice, is not spider, is your socks that you lived under the table. So then everything else like antenna and the movement, all of that is your mind projected. It's nothing. What do you need? You need bright light to find out. There's wisdom. That's same similar to wisdom that you need. You need eye. You need a vision to see. If you don't have vision to see, you can't go. The bright light is not going to help the vision to see. There's instructions how to meditate on shunyata and explanation about interdependence. These are all these instructions. It's like visions. Together with that instructions and the wisdom, the light and the visions, you will find that you'll be like kind of like, yeah, that doesn't that sound like a lunatic a little bit? Like freaking out based on your thoughts. That's kind of like, it's that kind of laughable. It's kind of silly, you know, like, yeah, we do all the time. I'm not making this up. There's some other text about the view. It's explained like that, you know, like, So now, whether that appearance is the mice or socks, if you firmly believe there's mice, it's going to be mice. Then you are going to project this tail. You are going to project this whisker. And you are going to project it's moving. It's going to be projected. It's coming close to you. All of that. It's just projections. Oh, so same like this. Just example I'm just giving you. Nansulas, no? Depending on logic of interdependence, then you're trying to analyze. You are not trying to go along with the appearances. You're trying to analyze appearances. For example, like Gishigele. Oh, you will go along with that. Don't ask, oh, Gishi, how are you? You go along with that. You don't analyze it. No, don't analyze. See, everything like yourself and everything else, and you don't analyze. You just go along with that. Just go along with it. You don't analyze. So, it all boils down on, bottom line, it all boils down on how you perceive. How you perceive self. How you perceive yourself. How you perceive yourself. So this all boils down to that, how you perceive yourself. Because of I do things, we do things. Because of I. In initial, you become attached to I, self, same thing. And there, it's not 100% clear what is I. It's not 100% clear. You may have some ideas that maybe idea is associated with the lunatic. That's the idea. But you know, what is it? That's not really clear idea. Okay, that's what Tenjungi Tenzi here. Tenjungi Tenzi means logic, that logic about interdependence, okay? Allows you to analyze appearances. Same thing you analyze. Or don't pay attention. Don't analyze. Nangsu da nisu mitumba. Nangsu appearances. Appearances. Nangsu. Nisu. Reality. Appearances. Reality. It's not same. It cannot be same. Appearances. Reality. Therefore, analysis is needed. Investigation needed. Don't just go along with the appearances, you know, may not be the reality. You know, may be projected by your mind and you are just going along with that. Or maybe you are hallucinated by appearances. Maybe that hallucination you created, then you hallucinated. You create a hallucination, then you hallucinate. Then you hallucinate somebody else. Nangzu da nesu nyu jimba se, nangzu talle shembe delu. There's things called reality. It's different than appearances. Reality don't just appear. You have to analyze, you have to find. The Buddha nature doesn't just appear, you have to recognize. Even though it's there, you have to recognize that you possess Buddha nature, okay? Nangsu da nisu mi tumba, nangsu ta le shembe du lu, rangshi ye tu le tong samte, nye yongwa shi yinbe na, chuo tenji le tenzi la tenes. Reality is something that you can find. It's not like something you cannot find. No. Reality is something that you can find based on logic of interdependence. You can find realities. You could go beyond appearances. Oh. That's the whole point here. Then the brother is called interdependent. That's just the name of the brother. You know, so this text kind of like spontaneously rise. It's not, that's why it says few words. It's not very, word-wise, it's very short. It's not three words. But do you see this in the beginning, three words, Chukila? Does it say like three words? In the beginning, after the homage, right? After the homage? Emptiness, shunyata. Your sound becomes shunyata, couldn't hear.
I'm sorry, Geshe-la.
Your sound dissolved into shunyata, couldn't hear. if we cannot hear, we cannot project.
This translation, Geshe-la, it just says, I utter these spontaneous words from thoughts flickering through my mind.
Yeah.
I believe in the other one it says like a few words. Yeah, a couple of words. In the other translation it says a couple of words.
A couple of words means like very little word. Doesn't mean only a couple of words. There's more than a couple of words. You know, sometimes you don't take literally word. It has some meaning. Couple of words means few words. You know, it doesn't mean like only three words. You know, so sometimes people take literally, they're wondering, oh, that looks like more than three words. It means few words. It just appear like that, you know, so like without preparation, it just appears. So that's why it's harder to reach, because this is experiential song of Changcha Robet Dorje, you know, the master Changcha Robet Dorje, who was the Lama of one of the Chinese one of the Chinese emperors, Lama. He was Lama of one of the Chinese emperors. Yeah. So this is song of experience. Song of experience. This is song of experience about Shunyata. That's 100% sure, because when you read, okay, here mother refers to Shunyata, emptiness. Well, then father refers to the base, mind. Well, brother refers to interdependence. Just keep that in mind, interdependence. So what did you As I said, you know, there's many logic associated with interdependence. So when you read many of them, you can find in the Lama Tsongkhapa text, it's called refined gold, something like that, refined gold, which has like 135 pages long. So unfortunately, I memorized all of them and said it by heart many times, more than 100 times. Now, gone. Now, finito. but remember where it talks about, remember after like probably around page 56-57 there, somewhere there. So then there you found many logic interdependent, associated with interdependent, many logic. Oh, how to analyze, okay. Namdugiri, because there's like seven set of logic. That's why he's always mentioning here. Namdugiri, basically, the logic that analyzing appearances, same like here. According to Nagarjuna, this is not similar, but not the same. But this seven types of logic, the specific logic been mentioned by Lama Tsongkhapa in that book called Thangalishin Nyingbo, Refined Gold, something in English. Mentioned
the essence of true eloquence.
Yeah, essence of true eloquence. Oh. Then many like our logic. So now, I'll give you an example. I don't remember. Even though I do remember that logic, not 100% clear, but I do remember what are those seven types of logics are. I remember of. That logic is based on charity, based on the charity, how to analyze the charity, okay? That logic is used. Charity as an example to explain that logic, the seven types of logic. So now here, thinking from the Mahamudra text, pretty much same, it all boils down to the same thing. So now you are sitting here wondering, who am I? Who am I? Very good start. Good start. So now you are about to get out of the lunatic world. When you ask this, who am I? Maybe you had enough. You had enough with living with I, doing all kinds of things. Now you had enough. Now you are thinking, who am I? Another logic. You look around. Of course, this table is not me. The cup that I'm drinking, that's not me. So then if you say this is me, then this sounds very, very lunatic. So that's probably not, you don't really know to say that. Look around. You have a house that you live in, cushions, you know. You are not starting from there. Your question is, who am I? Who am I? So now what you have? Your body. Head. Two eyes, nose, mouth, cheek, ears, hair, neck, then chin. Then you go through. Am I my head? Am I my hair? What do you say? Am I my hair? What do you say? No. Am I my eyebrow? Probably no. Am I my eye? No. You go through each one of them. Then you say, am I my head? No. So then you go through your body, all part of the body. That's not you. But you feel so strongly, so vividly, I is there. It's not going to go anywhere. Even though you say, oh, my head is not I, my body is not I, still you feel. Oh, now you become a little more precise. How's about liquid in my body? Liquid, blood, all the liquid in my body. Is that me? That's called analysis. You don't just go along with idea. Gisela, how are you? Oh, I'm good. I am good. What do you mean I am good? What do you mean I? We don't analyze. We just go along. Oh, I'm so upset. We don't analyze. We just go along with appearances. Therefore, some is. Turns out that liquid in your body, you decide that's not me. However, now you're wondering about the heat. That inside the body, is that me? You say, no, that's not me. Oh, now the very oxygen you breathe in and out, all the air inside your body, is that you? You say, no, that's not me. Oh, maybe how's about the space inside my body? Wondering, no, that's not me. Or maybe now consciousness. Or say, oh no, that's not me. Now, what is it? What is it you call I? What is it you call I? Oh, cannot find. Does that mean doesn't exist? No. No? That's called logic. Is this logic going to get you out of the lunatic or is going to put you in the lunatic? There's you, lunatic. Now you are not finding. Now you are not finding self. You are not finding yourself. You go through all your body, everything that you can possibly think of. That's me. Everything that you could possibly think, that's me. Now you go through each one of them, you couldn't find. So now what we should do? Now, what's the conclusions? But you vividly experience self, I, is there, is not, didn't went anywhere. After your analysis, still you feel that you are the one who's analyzing. You are there, you are not disappeared, even though you couldn't. So now, what possibilities? This is a very important word. Mingjiang Daiyuan. Just name. Mingjiang means just name. Mere name, just name. Daiyuan means imputed on this aggregate. Imputed on this aggregate, you are called Gijigele. When you are born, first moment when you are born, you have no name. You could be anything. You could be John. I could be John or Michael or anything. You know, so somebody just called me Gelek. Now it seems like Gelek is something concrete, absolute, inherent. No. The minute you are born, who are you? You are not Gelek. You are just called small kids, or what do you call? Baby? Yeah, small baby. You buy a house and you call, oh, this is my office. So then after that, that room becomes your office. It's not like the minute you buy the house, that room automatically becomes your office. It's not like that. You decided, oh, that room is going to be my office. So then from then on, for you, it's your office. That's what you believe. That's your office. That's what you believe. Because you are level. So now, you think of any possibility that could be you. You think of any possibility that could be you. Then you went through all of them. Now you could not find. What does indicate? Does it mean now does nothing exist? That means you don't exist? No. You do exist. That's why there's differences right from the beginning of this text. There's a difference between appearances in reality. There's differences between appearances in reality. All the possibility I went through, it appears as a me, but in reality, it is not me. So you went through all the possibilities that you can think of, and you believe, you thought that's you. Based on that, you judge yourself. Based on that, you act. So you react. There's so many things have been done based on that possibilities. So many things have been done on that possibilities. or maybe some case believing so many things that now turns out is not there, is not what he thought. No. Chebo Sami Chuma, Mimil Lumin, Namunam, Tereshne Chebo. Now you wonder, what is it? What is it called? What is it that I call I? What is it that I call I? What is it that I call I? What is it? So now conclusion on the Pasangika point of Minjan Tayo merely called Gishigele based on this aggregate. You are called, merely called Gishigele. You are called Julie. You are called Helen, or merely called. Minjantai is a Tamchigla. Minde Shabu Mayema usually to the Tombe Tony Tongi Doji Sumpius. Minde Shabu Mayema usually to the Now you are finding something that is beyond appearances, that's beyond what you believe. You are finding something that's beyond your belief. I used to believe these five things. I used to think that's me. So now, when I went through each one of them, I couldn't find. And I've done so many things based on those five things that I firmly believe that's me. So now, when I analyze, none of them is me. You know? Oh. So, now you are finding something that's beyond your appearances. Not just appear, you believe in what it appears. You believe in, not just appear, but you believe in what it appears as you. You believe in that. Oh, that's a mistake. That's a huge mistake. Not just appear, but you believe in what it appears. You believe in that. And so much things have been done based on that. There's no base. So now, the bottom line is, you are just called Julie based on your aggregate. You are just, somebody just called you Julie. That's how you become Julie. You don't just become Julie out of blue. Somebody just called you Julie. It's just mere name. Did I ever thought about that? I'm just merely label. Maybe that's something that you can find if you go beyond appearances. What you're going to find is merely label Julie. If you yourself called Julie, beyond appearance, that's what you're going to find, merely about Julie. Much less complicated one. Rather than to the tongue, the tongue duchy is superior. So that's why it's only said, that's what it says. You went beyond appearances. Then you will find reality, in this case, shunyata, you find. First, need to break these perceptions, projections. I'm not sure, like when I call myself Gishigele, what first thing that appears in my mind is my face. For you, I'm not sure. For you, when you call yourself, what kind of image that first appear in your mind? Your face, or your whole body, or your hair? I'm not sure. Hair doesn't appear in my image because I don't have hair in the first place. There's no pleasure that's related to the hair, but there's no stress that's related to the hair. I'm free of both. I'm free from the pleasure that you get from hair. I don't get that. The stress that comes with the hair, I don't have because I don't have hair. So what things that when you think about I get it. What image that arises? It's of course not is merely level kishikele. No, not at all. It's not merely level kishikele. So there will be much, much better. It's not like that. It's something solid. Something solid. What time is now, Mazi?
About 10 minutes, Geshe-la.
10 minutes, okay. Amat jena lenji to duba. Amat jena lenji to duba. Now saying, sitting with mother, kind mother. You see their word, Chukila?
That says my mother's gentle smile?
Sitting with a kind mother. The brother interdependence is listening secretly or something. The brother interdependent listening.
Right. She is perhaps that is and is not quietly spoken by my brother dependent arising. And then after that, this diverse subject object world is my mother's gentle smile. The cycle of birth and death, her deceptive words.
Mother, maybe we are going too fast, Chuchugila. Maybe that he's sorry. He's always repeating the root word. Ama samu chunye tomba ni te rang la yeshimba in Japan. So now the mother is not somewhere else, it's within yourself, it's Buddha nature. Okay, this is important, Buddha nature. Ama samu chunye tomba ni te rang la yeshimba in Japan. Rang ni kasa ke dame de chun. Chunye te rang ni trupza min yu mi ni sa rang ke simpi tingi chunye te. Why it took so long to recognize the mother? Yeah, because caught up with the appearances. Caught up with the appearances. Lack of analysis. It takes long time to recognize your mother, even just sitting with yourself, not able to recognize long period of time. That's like not being the lack of analysis, okay, lack of analysis. Maybe stop here, so then Chukila, next time, next Wednesday. So don't get disappointed that I switched the text from Tantrayana to Sutrayana. So maybe I will come back, but I think order is good. So I should not jump. I should go step by step. I should not jump. So there's risk, maybe fall down. That's why it's going better to go step by step. So, okay, oh yeah. Then, Ryan, I'm going to say some prayer for your health, okay? I'm going to say some prayer for your health. Improve your health. Huh? And also, not just you, everybody here, for their long, healthy, happy life. And for the health, and not just that, one of our members now, Nolan, it looks like it's only possible. We don't know exactly when, but only possible. So remember that, you know, remember, because we did a lot of retreat on his place, in his farm. So Lusa is gone. And not just that, as I said before, like nowadays, yeah, so many. So much problems that people have been through, still going through. I'm not sure how long. All kind of problems. Please think about it. All of them, all the people who lost their life because of this virus, all the people who are still struggling in the hospital, you know, like fighting with their life, all the people who feel so bad they're not able to say goodbye, all kinds of things, all kinds of problems. People, all the people who are dedicated to, you know, to take care, all the nurses, the doctors, all the healthcare workers. All the people who work in the supermarket, people who pick up our garbage. So many things to think about, you know, especially at this particular time. So please, you know, think of that. So then join your heart while I recite the mantra, okay? Oh yeah. Check only 2 minutes. Om namo bhagavate aparamita ayujana sumbhani sita dharadaya. Tatangataya arhate samyasam buddhaya teyatam pune pune mahapune aparamita pune aparamita pune yana sumbharapasita om savasam. Kalaparishita damate gangana samgati sambhava vishute maana yapare vare sova. Dimiji yasamanto vana ti imela sabamiku sevatane chitam patitu chumiru. And also Julie's mother is in critical condition. Julie's mother, so one of our members who live in Kentucky. So I've been doing prayer for her, so she's in critical power, she's dying now, so. Tabangataya arahade samya sambudaya namasavata tabangatabi arahade samya sambudaya namaya avalo kidishara bodhisattaya mahasattaya mahakarunidaya teyaram dara dara deje deje duru duru ete vidya samya sambudaya ile milya tete dala abana ya zoa wadne wadne yandu dula dada 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 dada. Now rest of the matters for your health. Okay. Also think about Mr. Berry's dog, Lana or Luna, Lana. So she has cancer. Think about her, the dog. Simjian ne ba chin ne ba nyu do ne le ta jyo de dwe ne ne ma le ma ta do ne ma ma pa ma sin ja ta be da la ne ne ro da ja da do wa da cha cha sa ma ka na to jo ba ta da ko je me lan do jo cho na pun ne lu da da do wa ne ba chin ne ba ta da da cho na pun ne lu da do wa ne ba chin ne ba ta da da ga do ne da ba so da ba tu na ma ne da da ja be pa ve cha ta cha ba ta pun do sa ba de ya de che de da ko je jo do je ga wa ne do da ja ne ja ma ta be Thank you everybody to coming to the class and see you next Wednesday or Sunday. Okay. Have a wonderful night.
Thank you, Geshe-la.
Oh yeah, my ninja. Okay. Okay, good night.